Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good afternoon. Happy Tuesday. Hope everything's going well in your day. It's beautiful outside. So if you have to step out of the car, you know, take us with you on the Odyssey app. We get to start the show with breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Breaking news here on News Radio 930 WBEN. The Buffalo Bills are officially bringing back the red helmets. That's right. There was a report yesterday that they weren't going to bring back the red helmets. No, they actually got this one right. The Buffalo Bills red helmets will be making a comeback for one game. That's right. The Bills will wear their red helmets for the Week 18 game against the Jets. That's the final regular season game at Highmark Stadium. But we all know there will be more games at Highmark Stadium after that, hopefully including the AFC Championship game. But I'll take it. They're going to bring back the red helmet for a game. They're bringing back the standing Buffalo for two games, one on the road, one at home. That coming down in just the last few minutes. I'm pretty excited. And I know this goes against everything I said to start the show yesterday, that I don't want to look forward to cold weather and football. But this is pretty significant. And I think a positive to start the show with this news, the Buffalo Bills bringing back those iconic red helmets for the final regular season game at Highmark Stadium, which, yes, will be at the end of this season. And then the Bills move to Highmark 2, the second edition of Highmark Stadium. You wonder, you know, I mean, this stadium went through three names, right? Rich Stadium, Ralph Wilson Stadium, New Era, and then Highmark. So four names. The new stadium will start as Highmark. Will it still be Highmark in 30 years? We'll have to wait and see. But that's not the topic of the show. I just thought that'd be it's a fun way to start things off, get everyone excited. Training camp starting tomorrow. You see all the players setting up for the next month of training camp. Like I said at the end of David's show, lots to get to today, and I would love your input on everything. 803-0930, star 930. You can also text us at 803-0930. And we're going to start with smartphones back in the news. Well, they never really left the news because a lot of you get your news by looking at your smartphone. A lot of you are listening to us on your smartphone, and we thank you for that. But a new study, and again, you know, I mean, for every study that says one thing, you can find one that says something else. But I thought this was very interesting. This study says that smartphones before age 13 could cause kids mental health issues later in life. Smartphone use by children younger than 13 is associated with suicidal thoughts, worse emotion regulation, lower self-worth, and detachment from reality, especially among girls, according to a study which was published in the Journal of Human Development and Capabilities. And I can, you know, see that. I mean, they've been stressing since I was a kid, you know, less screen time, you know, go outside, socialize with others. But I thought 13 was an interesting age because there are adults like me who didn't have, there were no smartphones when I was 13. We still had brick phones, right? We were on the Nokia brick phone. You remember those? Da-da-da. I'm not going to do the ringtone, but you know what I'm, the Nokia brick phone, the fun game on there, Snake. Remember Snake on a Nokia brick? Come on. I didn't have a smartphone. My first smartphone I got when I was screening calls for Bowerly's morning show in like 2011. And I'll tell you, over 14 years, I can't imagine not having the smartphone. And that's sad. I'm not saying that's a sad reality. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are different people because of their smartphone. You don't pay attention. You're buried in your phone all day. You're doom scrolling on social media, which plays into this as well. How much different would this study be if a smartphone wasn't also loaded with social media? Let's say social media never came to be, right? How different would your smartphone be? I think these studies would be a lot different. If all your smartphone had was YouTube videos and games and not four social media apps where people are trying, you know, people are putting out there their best self, and then you think you're seeing the average life of somebody, not realizing that person's probably going through the same crap you're going through, but they're, you know, unlike some people, they're not putting their problems on social media. And I think that's an issue with kids, right? You have some teens that they put every detail of their day online. And then you have others, I would say the majority of people, they make their life look like it's out of a 2000s rom-com, right? They're living at the end of the movie. They're living their best life. That's not reality. And I think a lot of adults suffer from detachment from reality. I wouldn't say that's just for teens that had a smartphone before they were 13. Because there are people who have had a smartphone for maybe a decade and they're in their 30s and 40s and they have detachment from reality, lower self-worth, emotional regulation. We see it. Sometimes you can see it in real time on someone's social media. But I want to know from you at 803-0930, star 930. Obviously, I am far from this. My two-year-old does not have a smartphone. I'm not even at the point where my two-year-old's asking to own a smartphone, right? Now, I will say, I probably could do better with the screen time. My son's used to having Alexa play Peppa Pig while he's eating dinner. Yes, admittedly, I could be better. My wife and I could be better when it comes to my son in screen time. I can't imagine, and again, I'm far removed from this point in his life, I can't imagine him even discussing the possibility of a smartphone before he's 16. I mean, my parents, when I was 13, hell, when I was 15, I got my first phone when I was 16, I paid for it myself, it was a Virgin mobile phone. John, you probably remember those, where you would buy the cards and load the minutes. And I was not a big texter then because text messages cost a dollar. So you get a $20 card, that was supposed to last me the week. Someone sends me a text, I call them. Hey, what you doing? But when I was 13, when I was 15, when I was a teen, we had, you know, my dad had a phone for work. My dad had a cell phone for work. And when we would go, you know, maybe I was on a field trip or something, or my sister was somewhere, we would take his phone and we'd call the home phone. So I do realize that I'm coming from a different reality where I would say 85% of the people listening to me right now do not have a home phone. So I get it. It's a different reality for, you know, when I was 13, after school, I'd go home and it would be me and my sister. I'd be the one in charge at 13. But again, my parents could get a hold of me through the home phone. So I get that most houses don't have a home phone now. So how do you communicate if you have a teenager at home and you're not giving them a smartphone? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Gen Z is doing something that I actually agree with. Gen Z is attempting to bring back the flip phone. You know, Gen Z, they're trying to make it like it's the late 90s, early 2000s. They've tried to bring back cassette tapes. And now they want to bring back the flip phone and call it Flip Phone Summer. Hanging up on the addictive call of the smartphone, tweens, teens, and 20-somethings are instead going retro, ditching their digital services for 2000s-era flip phones. And my question is, are they onto something? Because I agree. We shouldn't be giving young teens smartphones with endless stuff on there. I mean, you're talking social media. You're talking web browsers. No one's making a phone call on a smartphone. I was at Best Buy earlier, and my dad called me. And I looked, you know, people were staring at me like, this guy, he's making a phone call? What's that all about? So, I mean, flip phones do still exist. I walk through Walmart. They have flip phones at Walmart. So, is that the realistic alternative? Because obviously you have parents that want to be able to get a hold of their children. And again, we live in a time where people will be paying for a home phone to get a discount on a bundle service and not even connect the phone. It is quite rare to find a landline in 2025, especially in households where there are teenagers. So is the alternative the flip phone or the brick phone? Just some type of phone to make a phone call or a text. And you know what? To encourage, hey, to communicate, don't put something on social media to try to get people to respond to it. Maybe you just call the friend. Maybe you just have a verbal conversation with somebody. 803-0930, star 930. Now, this study on phones goes on to say that you should hold off on social media until you're at least 16. Again, this is out of my reality because when I was younger, when I was a teen, you couldn't join Facebook until you had a college email address. So 18 was when I could finally sign up for Facebook. I thought I was so cool, right? But now it's a different time. You can be on whatever social media you want to. And, you know, kids go to school. They talk to, you know, John. He's got a Facebook, but I don't. And my parents aren't letting me set up my Facebook. How do you stay consistent on that? That's why I think the flip phone makes the most sense. And they used to have, I don't know if they still do, the phone, it looked like a ladybug, and you would give it to your child, and it just had three programmed phone numbers. Mom, dad, and like emergency service, or grandma and grandpa. Again, you won't feel like you're detached. You can communicate with your child. I think a flip phone, a brick phone, that's fine. You're not loading up any of these sites on an old LG flip phone like I had. And I thought the LG flip phone was cool because it had AOL Instant Messenger. And I thought, wow, look at me. I'm walking around with a flip phone with AOL Instant Messenger. How cool am I? That was when my parents finally got me a phone and I didn't have to go with the buy your minutes Virgin wireless anymore. 803-0930, star 930. Where do you feel comfortable giving a teen a fully loaded smartphone? And maybe you're a parent who has compromised and given your child an old flip phone or a brick phone or something that doesn't have the social media. Because at the end of the day, 99% of the stuff they're talking about in this study is a social media problem. In the fact that if you have a smartphone, you have access to your social media 24/7, 365. That's also why you're detached from reality with social media. Remember, when Facebook and stuff first came out, you got it on your laptop. You got it on a desktop computer. Very few people were taking Facebook and Twitter with them when these sites first came out. Then the smartphone came, then the apps came and all that. And I think it's having access to those sites, doom scrolling, regularly just updating your feed. Oh, I haven't checked in 5 minutes. Oh my gosh, I got a notification with the X logo on it. I got to see what someone said to me. Go back. It's crazy to say this now because, you know, when I was younger, it was, you know, make phone calls. Now it's like the text message is a better alternative than going on social media. Hey, why don't you text your friend? Why don't you call your friend? Again, I'm a decade removed from this happening in my house, hopefully. Hopefully at least a decade, right? But yeah, I couldn't imagine giving a smartphone to someone young, to a child younger than 13. And I would even say older than that. And again, I think a majority of these issues stem from social media. And you could do a study of 30-somethings. Do a millennial study when it comes to smartphone addiction, and detachment from reality, emotional regulation, lower self-worth. I think you would find very comparable results when running a similar study on adults who didn't grow up with smartphones. Adults who had a desktop computer when they were teens. And maybe a flip phone. And now they've had a smartphone for 10, 15 years. I think you'd be surprised how similar the effects are on those millennials and even you Gen Xers out there. You're not out of this either. I think you would find that there's a good number of people who have been affected by having that constant stream of social media, having that computer in their pocket, and it has changed their day-to-day life, and it has changed their mindset. 803-0930, star 930. I mean, I say all this, but, you know, I don't have a job if I don't have a smartphone because I have to get into my email somehow. And you got to do the two-step verification. The verification's on my smartphone. We had one person here who was still using a flip phone, and then they introduced the two-step verification, and that person had to finally get a smartphone a few years ago when they did it. We all know a person like that. We had one right here at good old Odyssey Buffalo. 803-0930, star 930. Your thoughts on teens and smartphones. Your thoughts on adults and smartphones. Be honest. I'm being honest. I have definitely picked up some unhealthy habits when it comes to my smartphone and social media. What about you? 803-0930, star 930. This is a safe space on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It is Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN 803-0930. We're talking about the smartphone situation. This study that came out saying that a teenager should not have a smartphone, or a child should not have a smartphone before 13. And some of the things they list off here, I would say that adults who didn't have smartphones as kids because they weren't available have suffered probably the same issues and have the same effects on adults who maybe didn't touch a smartphone until they were 30. 803-0930, start 930. Your thoughts on this? We'll go to the Falls. That's where Norman is. Norman, your thoughts on smartphones?
Oh, my thoughts are I hate them.
Now, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
44. I just turned 44 last week, sir.
44. So do you have a smartphone?
Oh, yeah. I'm talking to you on a Samsung Fold. I hate smartphones, but I got a $2,000 phone in my hand.
Oh my gosh. So what do you hate about smartphones? What are your thoughts on this study?
Okay. So, I agree with the study. I think these smartphones that we have today, we should treat them like a car, like 16 and up. One, because our teenagers need to learn how to live without them, in case if we never have them again. So for an example, a 14-year-old, you know, thinks they know everything because of their phone, but they go into a library and they don't even know the Dewey Decimal System. Really bothers me. Really bothers me.
That's a great point, because we are used to, I mean, we still can remember a time where these weren't attached to us. So we can get by without having to look everything up on the phone.
Yes. And another thing that really bothers me is how it's every day. The internet is a part of our everyday living, and it's still classified as a luxury. It's not classified as a utility, and that really bothers me. For multiple reasons, and I don't want to pick a political fight with anyone, so I'll keep my reasons to myself on that.
So you think the internet is a luxury, or you think it should be a utility?
No, I think the internet should be classified as a utility. It's still classified as a luxury right now.
Okay, yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Gotcha. Thank you. So this is the thing. Like, right now, we think, you know, other than the political divide in our country, we think everything is still Krispy Kreme good, and it's truly not. All it takes is one dirty bomb, and there goes our way of life. And people just are not thinking about that or considering that, because we are so dependent on the internet. If an EMP goes off, especially in this area with our Niagara Falls Power Authority and everything else, there's going to be serious damage done, and there's not going to be a way to come back from it other than a new world order. And that is very scary to me.
Are you saying that a lot of people have a pre-9/11 thought where they think that we're untouchable?
Yes, I do. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah. No, Norman, I could not disagree with that. I think you're right as well, and I think the proof is every day in the news. Appreciate the call, Norman in the Falls. Yeah, you know, to the internet being a utility thing, I am going to raise my hand and say I was never against the concept of ErieNet. I do think that everyone deserves internet, right? Deserves access to internet. Let me clarify that statement. However, ErieNet, the way it was run, they have no plan. They have no service provider. They can't finish the project without unnamed service provider finishing the final mile for them. So the concept of ErieNet, and that's why we had Austin Tylik on a few weeks ago, because of what Greenlight did in North Tonawanda. The concept of making sure that internet is available to all of Erie County, it's a great concept. But that's not what's happening with ErieNet. It's become a huge waste of money. And again, they have thrown wiring up that has no service. It's dead wire. It doesn't do anything. It's all for show. So polling cards can have that press conference and have the podium with the guys putting the wire up. ErieNet is nothing but just an outlet to employ political friends. It hasn't done anything. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. Money that Erie County could have put in many better programs. So to Norman's point, I agree. I think the internet has become a utility. I mean, most people use it every day for work or for school. But again, I think the idea of ErieNet was fine. The rolling out of the concept, it just wasn't there. I mean, again, they had no plan. They just started throwing wire up and had no idea how they're going to finish it, who's going to provide it. They just keep putting up because they have the money. And let's just keep writing those checks, right? Let's keep making sure our friends are employed. 803-0930-930 is the number to get on. It's also the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Interesting stuff. And, you know, I will say, first off, I could definitely look at my phone less, use my phone less. I mean, I am frustrated right now because I can't see when I'm getting text messages because my Apple Watch died. So, you know, I'm definitely way too connected to social media and my phone. And yeah, I could use to back off 100%. 803-0930, star 930, if you want to comment on that. Yesterday, by the way, someone asked this question. I want to answer this. What's the difference between a brick phone and a flip phone? Well, a brick phone is, you know, it had the screen, the ringtone. John, if you could put my boss mix up, the ringtone sounded like this. And that was the Nokia brick phone. We all know that phone. The flip phone, I mean, it was the one that flipped, right? You had the Razr was a flip phone. That was a very popular Motorola flip phone. And the flip phone was the phone that most people had until the smartphone. We had moved on from the brick phone. Now, some people had the Sidekick. Do you remember the Sidekick? It was the one where you could hold the phone long ways and a keyboard came out of it. It was really like the competitor to the BlackBerry when the BlackBerry got so popular. And the BlackBerry was, let's be honest, the reinventing of the brick phone. The BlackBerry was just, it was a screen on top and a keyboard on bottom. It was, you know, it was the business smartphone. You know, smart business people would walk around with the BlackBerry. But then when people realize I can just have this screen in my pocket and it also is where I type, the BlackBerry kind of went away pretty quickly. Remember how popular the BlackBerry was during the Obama election in 08? And, you know, everyone talking about Obama's always on his BlackBerry. And then very quickly, the BlackBerry kind of just went away and was very unpopular. They tried to reinvent themselves in the mid-2010s. Didn't work out. But it, there was a time there where if you were a business, if you were wearing a suit and tie, you didn't have an iPhone in your pocket, you had a BlackBerry in your pocket because you wanted to have that keyboard. Let's go to Brian in Amherst. Brian, your thoughts on the smartphone study?
Hey, Joe. Yeah, actually, I worked for a wireless carrier for about 20 years, and so I've been around since, you know, the camera phone first came out. Actually, back when the Motorola Razr first came out, if you can remember back that long ago, or even the StarTAC for that matter.
I remember the Razr because I was so jealous of everyone that had one. I just had this bulky LG, and everyone had Razrs in different colors. And yeah, here I am with an LG, and I thought it was cool because it would blink if I had a text message.
Oh yeah, and I loved my BlackBerry. I lived and died by that thing. But anyway, when the smartphones came out, and they seemed to become, you know, they got a little bit less expensive. After, you know, they kind of went through the whole phones that kind of flipped open. I had a full QWERTY keyboard so the kids could text faster and all that kind of stuff.
The Sidekick, yes.
So then, you know, once the smartphone started having, you know, a full browser on it, and you know, now kids have access to things that in some cases they shouldn't have access to. But also, they all now have the answer pretty much to any question that's ever been asked in the history of humanity. So the need to actually learn has decreased. I think smartphones have ultimately made everybody dumber because they don't have to do anything for themselves anymore. I mean, a lot of people don't know how to read a map.
Yeah.
Right? How do you do that? Well, I don't need a map. I just use my GPS because it's on my smartphone. You know, they don't have to go to the library like the one gentleman was talking about, having to learn the Dewey Decimal System. That was fun. Or take out books to do a research paper or any of the other, you know, things that we take for granted that are just held in the palm of our hand now. So, I mean, ultimately, I just think it's made things easier from a gathering knowledge perspective, but it's also made people dumber and lazier because they don't have to do any of it for themselves.
I think
the challenge of finding some of that knowledge, you know, rolls over into other aspects of our life, and where, you know what, everything isn't going to be easy. You're going to have to figure stuff out for yourself. It's not going to be given to you.
I also think, Brian, you know, I think you're right when you say it's made people dumber, because you do have to have a certain amount of intelligence to know what to look up for if you're looking for the answer for something. Not everything is as easy as just typing something in. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I quickly want to know the answer to, but I need a little bit of knowledge on the topic that I'm looking up. I can't just go into it blindly. And I think you see that in conversations. I think one of the reasons the younger generation don't have as many verbal conversations is because they don't have anything to say. They have to look up everything they want to say.
They don't know the words.
Exactly. They got to look up, like, what topics, what do we talk about? I saw this on TikTok, and, you know, once that conversation is done, they just stare, you know, blankly and with blank stares at each other.
Right, agreed.
Brian, so what got you out of the wireless phone industry?
I got to a point in my life where it's like, you know what, this is a young man's game now, and, you know, I'm closing in on 60. So I decided to get out of that and stop chasing a sales quota every month, because that's what it was.
Yeah,
that's the way sales goes. You know, you're as good as your last month. So I actually decided to start my own landscaping company.
Oh, well, congratulations, Brian. Last question I want to ask you on that, because, you know, this is the retail nerd that I I have to learn to put away, but comes out every now and then. When the when the big stores like Best Buy and at that time Circuit City and Target started selling phones, did you, working for the wireless provider, notice a sales dip?
No, I wouldn't think so, because I actually worked on one of in the department that actually would take care of some of those third party retailers. Okay, they call it indirect. So there were your, like you say, your Best Buys. Actually, at one point we had Radio Shack, if you can remember back that one.
That's right.
right. So, but then we also had what they call local retailers, and you had a mom and pop that wanted to start their own wireless retail store, or and then what you know became known as some of the bigger boxes that are more nationally renowned indirect locations that, you know, they have 600, 700, 900 stores around the country, but they look like you know, one of the corporate retail stores. All it did is just make the footprint bigger, and the overall amount of devices, and whether it be phones or tablets or anything else, it just grew exponentially, you know.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, like, you know, when you started, it was just phones. And when you left, like you said, tablets, phone, watches. What do you need to hook a plan up to? We got everything.
Right. Yeah. You got watches, you got tablets, and then you had, you know, wireless hotspots. So all it was just basically a dumb connection to the internet that you could connect your devices to. So there's the portfolio got really, really large. And so it was super interesting. I mean, I enjoyed it for the time I was there, and I learned a lot. And I still have people say, "Hey, you still work there?" No, I don't work there anymore.
You were in it in such a fun time, though. I mean, you saw so many. I mean, when the business was changing fastly, like every year, you were seeing the improvements and the additions. I mean, like I said, you saw it go from just a phone to what phones do now, and all that other stuff that you want to hook up.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, it went from, you know, strictly just a voice tool. To then it was taking pictures, and then, you know, they were telling us that, you know what, everybody's going to have 4 or 5 devices in about 6 years, and we all looked at it like, there's no way people are going to have all this stuff. I'll be darned, everybody does. I mean, we probably in our family, when I had the kids at home, I don't know, probably 12, 14 different devices.
Wow.
So I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. It was so much dependency on the internet now, which in some cases, when you look at it, if that ever goes down for one reason or another, whether nefarious or not, that could be a really, really, you know, big deal for a lot of perspectives. But
hey, with certain big name providers, I mean, there are still places in this country that even the biggest name providers don't get you access. And if something happens in one of those spots, believe me, when I drive to Southwest Virginia on a regular basis in the fall, we hit spots where the phones don't work, and we have probably the biggest name wireless provider. What happens if something happens to you in that area and you have no access to your phone? Like you said, I think the younger generations would have an issue.
Sure. And then the reasons for that are many. It can be just topographical, you know, because it's only line of sight communication. You cannot bend a sound wave, you know.
Yep.
It's a straight line.
Interesting stuff, Brian.
If there's a mountain in the way, there's a mountain in the way. That's the way it goes.
That's right.
Or if, you know, whoever's on the town or, planning board doesn't want to look at a cell site across the street from them, they're not going to put it there. They're going to put it down the road 2 or 3 miles where it really doesn't do anybody any good. You run into those, you know, sorts of scenarios where even local politics and everything can play into, you know, the positioning of cell sites and how effective, you know, coverage is in certain areas. And then, of course, now as we see in more and more and more devices, you've got capacity issues where you've got so many devices on the network in any given area, the cell power, if you will, they call it cell shrinkage, and the cell transmission actually gets smaller, and people that are kind of on that outskirt, they're the unlucky ones that, you know, either get booted or they're having a very difficult time hearing on the other end. So
yeah, for
I
sure.
know what happens.
Brian, interesting stuff. Now, I promise this is my last question. If you can remember, when was the last time somebody asked you if the rate changes at 9 p.m.?
Oh, God. Oh, that was a long time ago. Wow, yeah. Monday through Friday, you had your nights and weekends, right? You get nights and weekends for free.
That's nights and weekends. You would tell someone, hey, call me back after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that was about, 2005, 2006?
Yeah, when I was in high school, I would say that was when that was popular. Hey, Brian, really appreciate the call. Brian in Amherst, who worked in the industry. Do you remember that when you would tell people, like, hey, I want to talk, but can you call me back after 9 o'clock because the rate goes down? Or I'm sorry, it's free. It's free. I mean, you were paying per minute during the day, but then after nine, it's just like with data. John, I promise I'll break in a minute. It's like with data. When the internet first came out and streaming services first came out, at the time was the radio.com app, most people were paying per data on the network. So if and that's why you would get to work and we would go, hey, Tom Eddie, tell me how do I log into the Wi-Fi? I don't want to use any more data. I mean, that's out the window now too. Most people are paying a flat rate. You're not getting charged for streaming stuff from your phone. But, before the data, it was the phone calls, nights and weekends. You get all weekend free, you get nights free. But, hey, we're going to benefit off those work time phone calls. And people would literally schedule their phone calls around nights and weekends. And like I said, data. Now, when you go shopping, there are some stores where they don't get the reception. So of course you're going to use their Wi-Fi. But the urgency and why so many places added Wi-Fi at the time was because they wanted, customers wanted to be able to go in there, use their phone for whatever purpose, and not be charged data. Because believe me, I can tell you from experience, before my gym added Wi-Fi, I was going through data pretty quickly just listening to music working out. So it's really interesting, and Brian got to see it all. He got to see all those changes while he was in the industry. It is so fascinating over the last 20 years how phones have changed and now to what they are as smartphones. 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, I've got a plethora of things I want to throw at you, including your questions for our guest tomorrow, Mitch Nowakowski. All that on Beamer on WBEN. Welcome back. Hour number two here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, if you miss any of this show, any of Tom's show, any of David's show, any of A New Morning, any show on this station, make sure you go hear it back on demand at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app. Brian in Amherst in the last segment brought up Radio Shack. And do you remember when there would be Radio Shacks everywhere. They were in every plaza. They were in every mall. There was a Radio Shack in the Kenny Carpet Plaza at Sheridan and Niagara Falls Boulevard. I mean, from that plaza, you can see the Boulevard Mall where, yes, there was a Radio Shack in the mall as well. Radio Shack was like one of the last stores in the in the Main Place Mall downtown, and they had an outside entrance. That's a store. I loved going to Radio Shack because they had cool stuff. I was always an electronics nerd, and I don't know. It was, in my opinion, superior to Circuit City or to Best Buy. I thought Circuit City was superior to Best Buy, and now look, Best Buy is the last one standing. A very different store. If you walk into a Best Buy today compared to 20 years ago, it's a very different store. There's not rows and rows of DVDs and CDs and physical games. I mean, you go to a lot of places now that sell PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, and very few of them still have physical games for you to buy because most of the systems now don't even have places to put the games. You have to pay like an extra $100 if you want a CD tray. Which is funny because, wasn't that long ago that your game system was also your Blu-ray player or your DVD player. And now it's, I don't know how much longer it will be until a PlayStation or an Xbox is just the size of an Amazon Fire Stick. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we're used to these big bulky things that you put on one of the shelves, but fewer and fewer people are actually buying physical games. Next thing you know, the Xbox is, you know, it's just an Amazon stick, and you know, you put it in the back of your TV and got the controller in your hand. There you go. Interesting stuff. 803-0930 star 930. You know, there's a topic I wanted to get to yesterday, didn't get to, and I'm not going to get to it today, so maybe tomorrow. Now, in this last hour, we're going to talk about a few other things, but Mitch Nowakowski will be on. We're going to I want to kick off this segment right. We're doing Wednesdays with an elected Democrat. And I think now that Mitch is coming on, we'll get more people to volunteer to come on, and this will be a segment that we can regularly do. Obviously, you're not going to get the Mark Pullenkarses, the Sean Ryans, the Jeremy Zellners. They're afraid of anyone with an opposing opinion, or maybe not afraid. They think they're better. They're far superior. They don't need to talk to the constituents that might not think like them. And that's not what you want to be in politics. And that's why I applaud Mitch Nowakowski. I've said this for a while. I think Mitch Nowakowski is one of my favorite Democrats. Not because we agree on much, because there's a lot politically we don't agree on. But he's always willing to talk. You know, he's always willing to have conversations with people who disagree with him. I've never had Mitch Nowakowski say, don't ask me about that, right? When it comes to anything local or national. He's willing to talk national stuff tomorrow. It's just very different how, you know, how Jeremy Zellner is. Again, he sits, you know, he thinks he sits atop this empire, and he looks down on everybody. And then you have Nowakowski, who is the vice chair of the Democrat Party in Erie County. And he's just, I think, such a different person and again, willing to speak with anyone and, you know, doesn't look down on you if you don't think like him. And looking forward to having this segment kick off tomorrow with him. But my point is, I'd like to know questions you think I should ask Nowakowski. And again, we're going to be talking local and national topics. We're going to be talking a lot of the stuff that you and I have been talking about the last few weeks on this very show. Stuff you hear on David's show, you hear on Tom's show, you hear on the news. So I'd like to know what questions, now I can't promise we're going to get to every question, but what question do you think, or would you like to hear a Democrat's point of view on? 803-0930. Text him in, 803-0930, or email me, joe.beamer@wben.com. And like I said, we'll try to get as many of those questions answered as possible. Yeah, someone texting in, Circuit City. I think Circuit City was, I mean, when Circuit City was in its prime, I think it was the best out of all of them. But Radio Shack, you know, Radio Shack was just, it was a different animal because, yeah, it had the small floor space, but then you'd go back and it would have connectors you've never seen. You know, that was back in the day when we'll keep this shh between all of us, when people would, you know, pay for one cable, but splice the cable all over their house. Radio Shack had all those attachments you needed to hook up, you know, 10 TVs on one account. And, you know, I mean, those days are gone because who still just plugs in a cable cord into the back of their TV? Now you need a streaming stick or you need a cable box. I mean, there's nothing if you just take the cable and plug it into the back of your TV. You get nothing, right? Yeah, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. And I agree with this texter. Circuit City was, when it was in its prime, it was the best. But, you know, just like a lot of the stores, a lot of these places that are no longer there, they made a few wrong turns. I mean, Bed Bath & Beyond at one time was, you know, the best at it, at what it does. And it had a great selection. And then as time went on, they, you know, skimped on inventory. You saw more and more empty shelves. And when people walk into a store and see nothing but empty shelves, they walk right back out. Or if you don't have what they have in stock and you say, well, we can order it for you online. Well, if I wanted to order online, I'd do it at home. I need this now. I mean, I could do 2 hours on what's wrong with retail and why you see so many big name stores failing. And I think very little of it has to actually do with the internet. And a lot has to do with the lack of customer service and the lack of in-store inventory. But again, maybe we'll go down that road another day. You know, all this stuff with Colbert and Jon Stewart and the late night TV. It's people that I don't agree with, but I actually mistaken for smart people. I can't believe that they're actually think that they actually deep down believe that Stephen Colbert was let go because of politics. And I have a prime example for you. CBS yesterday ran this story, okay? This is CBS telling you that it wouldn't be feasible for Coke to go back to cane sugar, okay? Here's what CBS said just yesterday morning.
Coca-Cola has long claimed it's the real thing. But in the 1980s, the Atlanta-based company changed its secret recipe in the U.S., switching from cane sugar to high-fructose corn syrup, a cheaper alternative.
I definitely think that cane sugar tastes a little better.
This week, President Trump, a fan of the soda, announced Coca-Cola agreed to go back to using real cane sugar in its signature drink, like manufacturers still do in Mexico. Coke, for its part, has not confirmed any change.
I don't think it's feasible.
John Bode is president and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association.
It would put thousands of Americans out of manufacturing jobs, and it would depress farm prices all for the sake of importing more sugar.
Okay, so they played this yesterday morning. Oh, Coca-Cola hasn't confirmed it. It wouldn't be feasible. And then this morning, we got this report.
Coca-Cola will start selling a version of Coke using cane sugar in addition to its current sodas. President Trump previously posted that Coca-Cola will switch from using high fructose corn syrup to cane sugar. The company says as part of its ongoing innovation agenda, this fall in the U.S., it plans to launch a soda made with U.S. cane sugar to expand its trademark Coca-Cola product range.
So They are coming out with a cane sugar soda, but CBS had to play it down. And my point with all of this is, do you really think CBS is punishing left leaning pundits? I will remind you that John Dickerson, who cried on set with Stephen Colbert, is still the face of their evening news. The CBS Morning Show, who was also part of their election night coverage, just go back. There is someone who does a beautiful summary of the night on CBS. I mean, it's commentary. They weren't doing news. They were doing commentary. Gayle King asking, I don't know how we got here. I talked to voters who said they weren't going to vote for Kamala Harris. How could they be this way? Gayle King still has a job. Right? John Dickerson still has a job. John Stewart, by the way, who went off on CBS's decision, works at Comedy Central. Comedy Central, by the way, owned by Paramount as well, is The Daily Show, which pretty much their whole shtick now is just going after Trump. Is The Daily Show being canceled? No. So stop. I can't believe we are still talking about this on a Tuesday. And it's funny to me that the people I see commenting on this, did you actually watch Colbert? Because the numbers would suggest that you did not watch Colbert. And are you even a fan of comedy? Like, part of me also thinks, and this is, now we're getting into conspiracy and I apologize, but part of me thinks that a lot of people on the political left love the fact that it's not comedy. Because they don't think that people who voted for Trump deserve comedy, right? It's the same people who want Colbert to stay on the air that are saying, don't talk to me if you voted for Donald Trump. I hate you if you voted for Donald Trump. Those are the same people that are cheering on Colbert. But in all reality, CBS, I'm sure, would have loved to keep Stephen Colbert in his left-wing show that he had built. You know, Jimmy Fallon was talking about it last night. I mean, when Elizabeth Warren's been on your show for 14 times in the last 10 years, you're not doing a comedy show. We're talking about a show that Norm Macdonald was a leading guest on back in the day, right? Stern, when Stern was funny, was on that show. Colbert had a show of Adam Schiff, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Scarborough, Caitlin Collins from CNN. This wasn't a funny show. It was It was a liberal version of the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder. And that's just not what people want to watch at 11:35. And you know what? It's not making money. And I don't know if you own a business or not, but if you're losing money, you're only going to hold on to that property for so long. And then eventually, yes, you're going to have to part ways, because losing $40 million does not spell a great future for the rest of your company. And CBS, you know, they have to worry about an NFL contract coming up. They have to, you know, worry about all their other entities and make sure that they stay afloat. They're not going to eat $40 million every year just because, you know, the guy who makes Orange Man bad jokes would have to get fired. But don't worry. I mean, liberal people out there, don't worry. Seth Meyers still has a show. And if you love awful humor that's just Trump sucks for an hour, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, MSNBC, CNN, you can go and find that type of humor anywhere. It's the safest humor. It's the complete opposite of what people are saying. If you don't like Trump, and if you are vocal about it, you will land a job in media somewhere. Right? You will land, unless you have said something or done something awful. If you don't like Trump, Stephen Colbert is going to have no problem, because when he's able to walk out in May, he will find an MSNBC, a CNN. He will go somewhere because he doesn't like Trump, and he will, just like when Erie County Democrats run for clerk, he will find a soft landing somewhere. He might not be making the $16 million to not be funny, but he will find the landing somewhere. We have some sad breaking news into the studio. Man, we start with breaking news, and now we have breaking news, and I am sorry to be the one to tell you, but we lost a legend today, just days removed. Ozzy Osbourne, frontman of Black Sabbath. If you're my age, you know him from a very popular reality show on MTV. And he just did his final performance less than a month ago on pay-per-view. The Prince of Darkness, dead at 76 years old. Man, how quick. I mean, let's be honest. He was in rough shape at his final show. I mean, he was in that chair and sounded fine. Sounded good. I watched a few clips from it. But as soon as they do their final show, The Prince of Darkness, dead at 76. And obviously, I mean, my first knowledge of Ozzy Osbourne was obviously Crazy Train, right? They would play it at Sabre games when they wanted to get the crowd loud. And then we fell in love with Ozzy and his family on The Osbourne Show on MTV. What a popular show. My parents still have a coffee mug with the Osbournes on it. I mean, they were selling merch. They were putting MTV, you know, back in the ratings game. It was, you know, this when this reality surge of the early 2000s hit, the Osbournes were at the top of that, right? We met Sharon and Jack and Kelly, I think was the daughter's name. Man, and then like I said, he's Black Sabbath. They've done a few shows, and they did a final one just a few weeks ago. It was not even a month ago. Now, in January of 2020, Ozzy Osbourne announced that he had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and, you know, that he was going to have to, you know, wind things down. And now, 5 years later, he is dead at the age of 76 years old. What is your favorite Black Sabbath or Ozzy Osbourne song? You can text those in. Maybe we'll play it as a bump after the news with Tom Puckett. If you're just joining us, breaking news. The Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne, dead at 76 years old.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Oh, welcome back. Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. If you're just joining us, Ozzy Osbourne, dead at the age of 76, did his final show on July 5th of this year, of this month. And we broke the news to you before the break and just updating you. You know, it reminds me of, this is something sadly comes up when people die, but artists that you wanted to see but never got to see. You know, for me, that list is, hold on 1 minute, I apologize. One of, that list, you know, it grows. The older I get in the shows that I never got to, that list grows. I mean, Jimmy Buffett is on that list. Would have loved to seen Jimmy Buffett in concert. I've heard great stories about Jimmy Buffett concerts. Prince, I think, would have been fun to see in concert. He had a great halftime show at the Super Bowl. Michael Jackson, never saw him in concert either. But then, you know, I think of ones that of artists that have passed, and I did get to see him. You know, Toby Keith. Got to see Toby Keith in concert a few times out at Darien Lake, right? Now, I was very young when I saw Whitney Houston, but at least I can say I saw Whitney Houston in concert, one of the greatest voices ever. But I'm sure there's someone out there wishing they could have seen Ozzy Osbourne all these years. Never got the chance, and now that door has closed. But he did put on one heck of a final performance, and you can find clips of that all over the internet from just a few weeks ago. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the air. Asking this last segment, questions for Mitch Nowakowski. He is going to be our Democrat in studio tomorrow for a new segment. We wanted to start last week. Didn't have any offers. Starting this week, starting tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Mitch Nowakowski, elected Democrat. We're going to ask him anything and everything, what we've been talking about, right? Why is there a push from Democrats for illegal immigrants to be sheltered from ICE? Why are Democrats against ICE? That'll definitely be asked. I'm going to ask him his thoughts on Colbert, his thoughts on, you know, my... Now, he has said numerous times that the forum was not rigged. He knows how I feel about it, and I'd like to, you know, ask him about the forum and you know, does he still feel that the Sean Ryan endorsement was the right endorsement? You know, what did Scanlon do to not earn that endorsement? I think that's a fair question. And then obviously a lot of the stuff that's going on nationally, the big beautiful bill, you know, I mean, can we find commonplace that able-bodied people should have to do some type of work to collect from the government? Is it that bad to have a work requirement, to have a requirement that you are in the country legally? Is that so bad? So those are the kind of things that I want to touch on tomorrow in our segment. And like I said, this will be a weekly segment where we get an elected Democrat. We'll come on the show and, you know, we'll have a back and forth. And again, it will be different than Hardline, because Hardline, I don't usually debate, right? That's where the politicians come on. They give their point of view and I pretty much just move on. Now, there's sometimes I'll push back, but I usually just move on. This will be more of a debate style, right, where I will push back, where I will give my thoughts and my opinions on the topics going back and forth. But I you know, obviously I came up with it, so I think it's a good idea. I think it's what a lot of people not only want to hear, but I think it's what we need. We need to break the echo chamber. And again, I mean, the Colbert firing, depending on what echo chamber is feeding your news, you either feel one way or the other. Now, to me, when you've lost Keith Olbermann, I think it's pretty telling. You know, Keith Olbermann doesn't think it's political. And Keith Olbermann is right up there with, you know, one of the biggest examples of someone broken by Trump. But, you know, there was someone that texted in during the break to go back to this. Saying, you know, you guys have to look at the situation. And I said, you know, again, I'll go back to my question. Why is Jon Stewart still employed? If Colbert's being fired, and by the way, in 10 months, because of his stance on Trump, A, why are they giving him 2 months or 10 months? And why is The Daily Show still on? It's the same company. So I think it's a ludicrous argument. And the more you look at the stats and look at the money lost and look at what else the company is doing, and I don't know, watch CBS News, you'd realize that this isn't, you know, this isn't a right-wing operation that Paramount's running at CBS. It is pretty liberal. Colbert fits in there. Colbert's just losing money. And CBS is not in the business of losing money. It's not a government entity that just sits there and loses money like the post office. So I continue to say that Colbert ruined a great show that Letterman built. All Colbert had to do was not suck at it. And he failed. He failed. Now, again, just like in Erie County, when the Erie County Democrats will make sure there's a job for you to fall backwards on when you don't succeed, there will be a landing spot for Stephen Colbert. The most popular thing you can do in media and entertainment is talk about how bad Trump is. Believe me, there will be a landing spot for Stephen Colbert if he wants it. I mean, the guy makes $16 million to lose CBS money. So I think you're living in a different reality if you think that Stephen Colbert was fired because of politics and you're just letting someone do all the talking and you're just taking it as gospel instead of, you know, like we talked about in the first hour, going online and looking at the realities. If you say that Stephen Colbert was fired because of politics, I think it makes you sound like you're detached from reality. Or that's the type of show you wanted. I will go back to what I said yesterday. He was hired to do a comedy show. He was hired to be an entertainer and do a comedy show. He didn't do that. He did the CBS version of the Rachel Maddow show. That's not what CBS paid them to do, and that's not what advertisers wanted to be part of. They said, you know, instead, we'll just double down on our investment in The Young and the Restless. Which, by the way, has gotten really good. I just wanted to put that plug out there. 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get on. Someone said, you better go out there and see Imagine Dragons before it's too late. You know, hey, I realize they have an audience. They're very popular. I do not understand the popularity of Imagine Dragons. Their songs all sound the same. They're not particularly good. I mean, you hear them when you walk through any big box store. The only reason I know like three Imagine Dragons songs is because they were on when I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond. I think, I applaud their success. I'm sure they're crying all the way to the bank. But I don't get it. Imagine Dragons, I don't get. And there's a lot of popular groups. You know, Fall Out Boy, their first two albums are great. I mean, their later stuff, like the stuff that came out when I was in college and beyond, that was pretty rough, if you ask me. That was pretty rough. I like a little bit of consistency. You know, I got to say this, and I wanted to talk about this more in depth, and maybe we'll do this tomorrow. I went to see Shania Twain on Saturday. Can I say, Shania Twain, you know, 20, 30 years removed from her biggest hits, she still puts on one hell of a show. And you can make fun of me all you want for going to see Shania Twain. But she puts on one heck of a show. Now, she sounded great. You don't know how much of that is, you know, mixed in vocals or whatever. She sounded great. She is all over the stage, right? She's moving all over the stage performing. And it's one of those shows that you go to and you're like, oh, I want to see this, and this. And you forget how many hits they had. Like, oh my gosh, I know double the songs I thought I would know. You ever gone to a concert and had that realization? Like, my gosh, every song was a hit. But you only think of, you know, Man, I Feel Like a Woman, and That Don't Impress Me Much, and the two slow songs. I mean, Tanner, do you know any Shania Twain, if I was to ask? Tanner, name a Shania Twain song that's not Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Oh, you got me there.
No, but it was, like I said, I knew it would be a good time because, you know, 90s country. But man, I was surprised. And I wanted to get into this. What's the most surprising concert performance, good or bad? I was really surprised with how entertained and how good the show was. And that, I mean, I'm saying this is a very positive thing. I thought she put on a great show. And I know there's people out there, if I ask, and hopefully maybe tomorrow after the Nowakowski interview, we'll get into this. The best or worst show, or most surprising concert, good or bad. Because I have had people call into me when I've done concert shows, talking about an awful Rolling Stones concert at the stadium in, what was it, 78? But then I'll have people call in about the exact same concert and say, oh, you know, it wasn't as bad as people say. Which is funny, like you can be at the same show And you know, so many people there think it was the worst show they've ever been to. And other people are like, no, it was good. Journey was there, all that. So I'm interested to hear that. We'll have to bring that back up tomorrow. But I want to say, if you have a question for our Ask an Elected Democrat segment with Mitch Nowakowski, you can email that joe.beamer@wben.com. Again, we're talking national, local, we're talking politics. And we're going to, you know, give our differing opinions and see if we can find common ground. I think that's important as well. You know, David had Pat Burke on today, and they found a lot of common ground when it comes to the Tesla plant and what should be the action of the state going forward, what's in Buffalo's best interest. You know, Pat Burke, not a fan of Republican politics, and David, we know where he stands. It was nice to hear them, you know, have a compromise, have something they agree on. And so, Nowakowski, we'll have stuff we disagree on, but we'll try to find that common ground as well here tomorrow. And that's right after the news at 1 o'clock. And I'm excited to get that segment underway. And hopefully, you know, you hear one, and that will encourage someone else to come on the show. And we'll just, every Wednesday, it'll be a given that an elected Democrat out of Western New York will be on the show. Hell, who knows? Maybe one day Sean Ryan will finally come back and do a segment with us. I wouldn't hold my breath. I would say it's more likely that the Erie County Democrats unblock me on social media than Sean Ryan coming on to do the segment. But I would welcome it. Like I said, I would welcome it and hope that he will at least come on before the election in November. And hopefully someone gets in his ear and says, you know, it's time to go back and talk with people that disagree with you. Because, you know, the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, I know he's been in office for 14 years. I'm not sure he knows that, you know, you're supposed to be the county executive for all constituents, not just the ones you agree with. And unfortunately, I think the county executive feels otherwise. And he looks down on the people who didn't vote for him and looks down on the people who voted for Trump. It's just, it's obvious in the way that he posts on social media. So yeah, make sure you get those questions in, and I'm looking forward to that segment tomorrow here on News Radio 930 WBEN. If you're just tuning in and you missed the news, this broke just about a half hour ago. Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness, frontman for Black Sabbath, dead at 76 years old, just a few weeks removed from his final show, which, again, you can find all those clips online. Tom Bowerly has a program up next in just a few minutes. Tom, happy Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday, and Ozzy Osbourne, you know who really liked Ozzy Osbourne? You're never going to believe this.
You?
My 90-year-old mother, big fan of the Osbournes. She loved Ozzy. Seriously, she was so cool. But yeah, Ozzy Osbourne is dead. And you know, one of the things we might get into later on is, and by the way, I did not kill Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy has not been mentioned on this program, on my program. So yeah, I've got this thing. I mentioned Connie Francis a couple of weeks ago. We killed her off, and she was even a guest on the show back in the 1980s. I've got this horrible track record of naming people that people ordinarily aren't thinking about at the time, and then shortly thereafter they pass, they die, and it's kind of weighing on me just a little bit. But Ozzy was not one of those people, but you know, Ozzy, a lot of fans, a lot of very, very dedicated fans, and we're going to let Tanner Saunders do the musical honors today because he's a big heavy metal guy for all of the Ozzy Osbourne fans out there. And you know, thinking about celebrity deaths, Joe, in your lifetime, has there been a celebrity death that has just hit you in the solar plexus? You didn't see it coming, and it really affected you, even though you didn't know the person personally?
Huh. That's a great question. I can't think off the top of my head. The most stunning death I remember is when John Ritter died and how stunned everyone was because he had that big sitcom on ABC at the time.
Well, I think the John Ritter, Bernie Mac nexus in Bad Santa may have been a connection there, because Bernie Mac and John Ritter, they didn't last too long after that movie.
That's
and
right.
those were shocking deaths. Farrah Fawcett had the misfortune of dying the same day, I believe, Michael Jackson died. So she got short shrift. But for me, I would say two of them in my younger days, John Lennon. December 8th, 1980, the assassination during Monday Night Football. I was upstairs practicing Beatles songs on my 72 Fender Telecaster, so that kind of hit a little bit. And, of course, what do you think the of recent vintage, take a wild guess at the death which most severely impacted me, even though I didn't know the dude?
Oh, man. Tom, you put me on the spot. I can't remember.
What show do I quote virtually every day? The Sopranos.
Oh, James Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini. Didn't see that one coming, even though it was predicted on the show by Michael Imperioli. The way you eat, you're going to have a heart attack by the time you're 50. Well, he was 51, but wow. Ooh, that's kind of weird to watch that now. But coming up after the news at 3, Joe, you're talking about this a little bit, but the whole cell phone debate. And how old should your kid be before your kid gets a smartphone? How old should your kid be before social media? You've got a youngster, Joe. Have you talked about these things with your gorgeous wife?
I hope that we are over a decade away from that coming up. But I think we're in agreement that, you know, the smartphone will not be in his pocket until he's 16. I mean, maybe a flip phone, maybe something so he can make emergency calls. But I didn't have a cell phone until I was 16. I feel like with a smartphone, you don't need it till you're 16.
Well, as far as the emotional maturity involved in having a cell phone, or a smartphone, I should say, if you want to see a lack of emotional maturity, take a look at me in a bar. If I think I've lost my cell phone, it's not a pretty picture. I'm not going to lie. But anyway, we're going to get into that. Also, the celebrity death thing. And maybe if we have time, is Barack Obama about to go down?
Oh, looking forward to that. Tom, I do have one more question for you.
Yeah, but
what do you think about the red helmets making a comeback?
I think that the term red skins is offensive. I'm not personally bothered by it, but I have to respect the opinions of others who are bothered by it, because it, I'm sorry, but the red skin thing is definitely racist.
Oh.
And
oh, yeah.
You talking about that?
I'm talking about the Bills red helmets coming back for the final
I'm
game.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Different pages.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? It's just a marketing thing. It's like the Sabres Goat Lord jersey. I mean, I don't really pay attention to that stuff.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Asking me a sports question is like me asking you a physics question.
Well, Tom, I mean, I'm on for 2 hours. I had two breaking stories as soon as I came back from break at 1 and at 2:30. So, you know, I'm just trying to get the reaction.
No, I was watching the stuff about Ozzy even before he died.
Look at that. Look at that. Well, Tom, looking forward to your show in just a few minutes. And don't forget tomorrow, 1 o'clock, the first installment of Wednesdays with an elected Democrat. Mitch Nowakowski joins me in studio, and we will get his take on so much going on. Thank you for the calls, the text. And again, you want to email me, joe.beamer@wben.com. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. Tom Bowerly is next on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.